From the United America Network, this is Varsity Vibes, your roundup of prep sports action and the voices from prep athletics all across Riverside County with Luke Lamont. Now, here's Luke.
We got another recap. Another round of football has come and gone in the 2025 playoffs. We're going to start with the teams that have been eliminated this week, the teams alive, and then we'll work our way down through Division 2 all the way to Division 13. Starting off, teams eliminated: Vista Murrieta, Chaparral, Great Oak, Riverside Poly, Shadow Hills, and Linfield Christian see their seasons come to a close. The teams alive: Murrieta Valley, San Jacinto, Roosevelt, Palm Springs, Palm Desert, Valley View, and Coachella Valley remain in the hunt for a CIF title. We're going to go to Division 2. Murrieta Valley continues to dominate anyone in their path and route to a shot at redemption in the CIF Southern Section Division 2 championship game. The Nighthawks snuff out the red-hot Rancho Cucamonga offense, holding them to 6 points in a blowout 26-6 win in round two of the postseason. A 26-0 lead after four rushing touchdowns guided Murrieta Valley to a matchup versus Los Alamitos, with the winner heading to the CIF championship game versus either Luzinger or San Clemente. Vista Murrieta's valiant season comes to a close after a 32-7 loss versus San Clemente in round two. It was 15-7 after three quarters, but the Tritons hammered on 17 points unanswered in the fourth quarter to seal the win and eliminate the Broncos, capping off their 8-4 season. Chaparral also falls in round two action. A close 19-16 loss to Luzinger leaves the Pumas stranded after their round one win. An impressive opening round game where they put up 63 does not translate to their next game, and their season is over. Chaparral also falls in round two action. A close 19-16 loss to Luzinger leaves the Pumas stranded after their round one win. An impressive opening round game where they put up 63 points against Chaminade in that win does not translate at all to their next game, and their season is over just after one playoff win. In Division 4, San Jacinto is on a run after a first-round exit in Division 2 last year. They find themselves in a semifinal matchup versus Villa Park, who is tearing through that bracket in the playoffs. The Tigers knocked out Charter Oak 29-27, another tight game for San Jacinto as that they managed to pull out in the end. A tough task if they want to go to the title game, taking down those Villa Park Spartans. Great Oak sees their season end after an impressive start versus Cajon in round one. The Wolfpack fall to Villa Park, who now plays San Jacinto, like we mentioned. A 30-6 loss sends Great Oak into the offseason, as the 23-0 deficit early on was too much for them to overcome, ending on an 8-4 season. Roosevelt marches on after a 14-13 nail-biter versus Burbank. A 14-point second half got the job done for the Mustangs, as they will meet a reigning CIF champion in the semifinals, St. Pius X St. Matthias Academy, and try to deny them their second straight title appearance. In Division 7, Palm Springs can take a deep sigh of relief after a narrow win 22-21 versus Hart to punch their ticket into the semifinals versus Barstow. The gutsy two-point call for Palm Springs succeeded in the final minutes of that game. Under a minute to go, they scored a touchdown, and to keep their season alive, they went for two. Quarterback Bishop Miller with his legs got the job done, keeping their dream alive for the top seed in Division 7. Barstow, who has blown out every opponent this postseason, has back-to-back games with 34 points on offense, is a tall task for that Palm Springs defense. That should be a great matchup, with the winner heading to the Division 7 CIF Finals. In Division 8, Palm Desert rode their late-season momentum to a semifinal appearance now after a 46-33 win versus Patriot to lock in a game versus Beckman for a shot at the D8 title game. Outscoring Patriot 29-6 in the second half after giving up 27 unanswered in the second quarter when they started off up 17-0, a very back-and-forth game all over the place with scoring. But it was Palm Desert getting some consistency in that second half to lock in the win. Aztecs are still going in the playoffs. In Division 9, Riverside Poly fell to San Dimas in round two. After a 28-8 score, the defense gave up 331 yards and four touchdowns all on the ground to end the year for the Bears after a round two playoff run. In Division 11, Shadow Hills is sent packing in a blowout loss to a 48-10 Toon. Their loss to Baldwin Park after a dominating day on the ground for the Braves, ending the night's season in the second round. Valley View soars their way further up the mountain as they have a title game in their sights. The Eagles and Gar traded blows in the second half, but it was a second quarter advantage 14-7 that helped Valley View secure a spot in the semifinals versus South Pasadena. One win away from a championship appearance. In Division 12, Coachella Valley is moving on in the D12 playoffs after an impressive 49-14 blowout win versus Paris, as they now face Grace for a shot at a championship appearance. A 42-7 lead at half allowed them to coast through the next two quarters for the win. In Division 13, our final team, Linfield Christian, is heading to the offseason after a resilient effort versus Montebello in a 27-25 loss. A very young team that will likely continue to make their presence known over the next few seasons. We've had their head coach here on the show back a couple weeks ago, Deshaun Burns. Go check that one out. He goes in depth about the run on this season. They fall just shy of a semifinals appearance as their sophomore quarterback goes for 4 touchdowns, but it just isn't enough. 2 through the air, 2 through the ground. The Lions season comes to an end. Moving over to volleyball, West Valley has seen their volleyball season end after being the last Riverside team standing, the only team to make it into the state playoffs or have a CIF championship appearance in that D7 bracket. They lost in the second round 3-0 to Capistrano Valley Christian after a 5-set 3-2 win over Olympian in round 1, and that ends volleyball for the season in Riverside County. 7 teams left alive across the board as we near the end of fall sports. We're going to head into the winter and switch to basketball soon. Flag football and volleyball have already concluded for Riverside County and across California for flag football. This week, we had the chance to talk to the new head coach of Murrieta Valley Volleyball, one of the area's top girls volleyball programs. Our guest for this week is head coach Rochelle Short. Coach, welcome. I really appreciate you taking the time out of your day to answer a couple questions here today. Murrieta Valley head coach, it's a very prestigious volleyball program here on the girls level in Southern California, Division II championship last year, but this is your first year as the head coach of the team. How has that been a challenge for you to take a team that is fresh off a Division II title and in your first year try to prepare them to get back to the same heights that they reached previously?
Yeah, absolutely. Let me just say thank you for inviting me here and thanks for having me on. I really appreciate it. Love any opportunity to talk about these girls and Murray Valley High School, of course. I don't really think it was a challenge. I do know that I was coming into the team being fresh off a Division II championship. And the one component, one of the main components, is we graduated 6 or 7 seniors from last year. It was going to be a rebuilding year no matter what. Now, there were probably only, truthfully, that came back, I believe, 3 to 4 returners that came back from that year for whatever reason, multiple reasons. And then, so we were building a new team anyway. We had some really great talent that came in as freshmen, and it was really just creating a new culture. With any new head coach that comes in, we have an entire new coaching staff. We had young players, few returners who knew what was in the system last year. But then with an entire new coaching staff, it was just like everything was brand new. Everybody really understood and really embraced the new horizon and what was to come. It was not a challenge at all. It definitely was just building culture and getting girls excited to compete. And really, they all took on a little bit of a chip on their shoulder and wanted to defend that national championship or Southern Section championship. So that was really fun. They began to work hard. They were showing up to practice every day, putting in reps and definitely giving it their all in every practice.
I know you just mentioned you had a handful of players leave, a lot of turnover. So on top of building that culture, you don't have that sort of veteran leadership to aid you along as much and help the team rally around them. You had a sophomore and freshman lead the team in sets played, kills, and aces. So definitely a young team, you mentioned, a lot to look forward to on the horizon. You went 19-12 on the season, so a positive record, and you made the Division II playoffs again as well. So definitely it seems like it was a good first year of that culture building for you.
Yes, absolutely. Every girl was hungry and was open and willing to do whatever it took to make wins happen. We came out playing very experienced, well above our age years. And so that was really encouraging to see that we got to compete hard in the beginning and really build off that foundation. It was not just our sophomore. The sophomore who was our ultimate leader, she played 100% of the time as a freshman. So talk about, there's our age and then there's our volleyball IQ. And there was really a high volleyball IQ on our court from that sophomore leadership. And then bringing in the freshmen that came in that were able to contribute a huge portion of it. I know you mentioned those stats. We also had a freshman libero who was on the court the majority of the time. So it's really a huge upside for the next couple years, and I'm excited for it.
Definitely, it sounds like there's a lot to look forward to, and you should be excited for it. You yourself have been around volleyball for quite a while, and I was wondering what in your past with the sport of volleyball has helped prepare you best for your current role as the head coach of the Nighthawks?
There's a lot of things, honestly. I've been in and out of high school and in college, to be honest with you. I love the personal relationship and community side of high school volleyball. I think that mentoring the next generation of female athletes, creating a culture but an environment where they're safe and understand what it really means to be a team and work hard and develop with high expectations and being able to wear their name across their chest, the school's name across their chest, and go out and have that crosstown rival. Just the community, the sense of community is probably one of my favorite things about being in high school. As far as my past, I played the sport. I have a great passion for the sport of volleyball. Ultimately, I don't think I've, ever since I've finished playing, I don't think I've really left the sport by any means, from coaching numerous different high schools and collegiately, Point Loma Nazarene and Concordia University. It's all of those experiences have created me and the opportunity to be where I'm at right now and to be back at Murrieta Valley. Now, I had a daughter who went through school, I had a son who went through the school, and then as 2011, she was a freshman. My son graduated in 2016, and then I just had a daughter who just graduated last year, and then I have a freshman coming in. The kids keep me young, but also my playing experience and then my ultimately overall coaching. I love the sport of volleyball, and it's really just the passion that brings me here.
Well, you mentioned, did you say all your kids went and graduated through Murrieta Valley as well?
Oldest actually started as a freshman at Murrieta Valley, and then she transferred to Vista Murrieta and went through Vista Murrieta graduation. But then I had my son and my number three child, who's a daughter, just graduated last year, and now I have a freshman who's there right now.
Nice. So definitely a legacy for your family being built through Murrieta Valley, it sounds, with a handful of your kids going through the program as well.
Absolutely.
I wanted to ask you, so you mentioned building foundations for a next generation of these young women in the sport. I was going to ask, why do you coach at the high school level, and why is it mainly important to you to do? Why do you find coaching up that next generation to be that motivation to be a head coach?
Yeah, I think that we're at a really interesting time. It's a great time for female athletes in sport. It's a great time for just the growth of all female athletes, to be honest with you, not just volleyball, but in general. And I've gained so much from playing the sport myself, from when I did high school and college and now coaching, obviously giving back to the next generation, but really mentoring them. And if I truly do believe that if they can see it, they can achieve it. And we do want retention. We need retention in the coaching realm. We need retention in the athletic director roles. We need female, strong female athletes, strong female leaders to be empowered, to want to do those jobs and lead so that we can continue to promote not only our sport, but leadership, you know, business oriented, wherever these young girls want to go. For me, it's more about mentoring that next generation and being a sounding board or role model and building the relationship to develop them into whatever they want to be when they grow up. Whether that's, again, like a business leader on their own business or coaching, which would be awesome, or just a contributing citizen of the United States. Just to empower them to do and to do it to the best of their ability.
I think that's definitely a great motivation to do the job that you do. And it is so important that these girls, while they're in high school, I've had other people on here and they've talked about the same thing of building these kids up to have a good situation after high school when they're done playing their sport, because sports don't last forever, but the lessons you can learn from them certainly do. So it's great that, especially at Murrieta Valley, this specific example is that they're being led someone by you who is emphasizing those things and putting that at the forefront of their motivation to be a coach.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that character development is a huge component of what we do. And in my culture, we talk about we over me. That was the theme of this year's season, is we over me, is that it doesn't matter who's playing or what we're doing, we're all in it together. And really keeping that focus on whatever we're doing is for the we, is for the group. And it's not about you and your playing time and what you're doing, but you're putting in your best effort, whatever that is, the entire time, every time, because it's for the we. And that was one of our main focuses. But then on top of that, ultimately, they can take that into the workforce or being a parent or being a wife or whatever it is they choose to do. And character-wise is so important that I feel like it's almost a lost component of what we do as coaches, as mentors, as teachers, as athletic leaders, as leaders as well. That's just a component that needs to be not investigated, but it needs to be an element that is included in what we do. It was a great year. I was super proud of this team. I was proud to be their coach. I was proud of how we started, how we played throughout the entire season, and how we finished overall. And I know there's only more we get to build on because we're so young, and we're sad to lose our four seniors 100%. We love our four seniors and they contributed too, but we have such a great foundation that we're able to build on and move forward as years to come.
Definitely. I have to say, I like the saying, the we before me. That's a good one. I haven't heard that one before specifically. And I also wanted to say, I got to agree with you that it's a very successful season to be proud of with such a young team to make the Division II playoffs. That's second highest bracket in the Southern section is nothing to mess around with. So that's definitely an impressive year to go from a team that's young and, like you said, a new coaching staff to do that. So definitely a lot that you guys built on and have to look forward to.
Yeah, absolutely. And one of the other things is we finished tied for second in our league. And the Southwestern League is, outside of Trinity League, it's pretty competitive. We are pretty high up there with overall leagues in Southern section. So we finished tied for second. Ultimately, we beat the number one team second round. So that's great. We did lose to our tiebreaker to wind up taking third overall for playoffs. But other than that, I mean, for as young as we are and who we faced on the other side and who wound up number one and tied with us with a lot of seniors, they are quite the opposite of what we were. So again, I stress on how our volleyball IQ just really allowed these young aged athletes to compete day in and day out and ultimately take some upsets, make some upsets, and finish where they did in the season. What ultimately took us out, and I'll tell you this too, in our first round of playoffs, we had to go up to San Marcos High School, which is in Santa Barbara. And they were an entire team of 15 players. All 15 of them were seniors.
Wow.
Oh, it's, which is a little bit of an anomaly in itself. We finally met where we have you played them again in a week. We who knows, the different, it might have been a little bit different.
But yeah,
it was definitely a great competition. And we lost by two in the last two sets. It was 23-25 both times. So we competed, which was great.
Yeah, I mean, that's a couple points swung the other way. Like you mentioned, if you get another shot crack at them later on, you never know how that's going to go. A team of 15 seniors, I don't know if I've ever seen that or heard that before, especially after a long drive up to Santa Barbara for you guys.
Yeah, and I have never heard of that. I've never seen, I've never played against another team in all my years of coaching to have that many seniors. About 15, and there's 15 on the roster. It's just like, I actually thought it was a typo at first, but sure enough, they did. Yep, now we're all seniors.
That's an incredibly tall task to take on with a young team in the opening round of such a competitive and high quality playoff bracket. So to have those last two sets be within 2 points is definitely an impressive accomplishment.
Yeah, definitely. It was great. It was a great competition.
All right. So I have one last question for you, Coach. Looking forward to next year. Is the goal, obviously, CIF title is, I feel like, always the goal for every program, but what would you like to see most out of your team in the following season?
Yeah, I think that every high school team says CIF title for sure. I definitely want to build on what we had for this year. We had a very selfless group, very much willing to play all out for each other. We definitely will want to continue that. And it's one of the things that we look at as coaches is anybody who's not willing to play what's needed or do what's needed for the team is not going to, it can't be a part of our team. So we're building on a foundation of together and the group as a whole first as we move forward. And then on top of that, we just want to develop. And another phrase that we talk about is 1% better every day. And everybody's going to come to high school. Everybody comes in at different levels. There's people who have never played before on their lower levels. There are people who are just straight athletic who can be a part of it because it's high school. And so it's developing everybody's mental side of the game, physical side of the game to compete at their absolute best when it really matters. We're going to be building on that foundation that we started with this year, especially we only graduated by a team of 15 and we graduated 4. So we have a good amount coming back. So I feel like it'll be a great, we won't be starting at ground zero. We're going to be starting a couple steps up and anybody who comes in will be able to just on that same step and provide an element that will take us even further. So we are building, we are looking forward. We are clearly want to make it to the final game and then even into state, as make a state run as well. But that's not the number one focus. The number one focus will be to develop our athletes, develop our student athletes, develop our people, our girls, our athletes as people first, and the rest will follow. So something else I should note too, as out of 15, I think I had 13 girls on scholar athletes. So they're all very smart in the student athlete department too.
That's fantastic. Emphasizing the academics too. It's great when you can have those athletes that are able to balance that life, because it's not always easy balancing the school with the sport. So that's great to hear that a majority of the team had those scholar athletes going.
Yeah, absolutely. I was proud of them for that too.
Definitely fair to be proud of that. And I want to say, I really appreciate you taking the time out of your day, Coach. Best of luck next year. And I hope those accomplishments come true and the goals of developing your players. And I really look forward to hopefully talking next year during the season more and potentially getting a chance to talk to you, hopefully talking about how the season went again next year.
Absolutely. I look forward to it. Thank you again so much for having me on.
Thank you so much, Coach. It was great having you.
That's a wrap for this week's look at Riverside County Prep Sports, where from the desert to the mountains and from the pass to the valleys, our student athletes bring their best every game, every day. Join us next week as we shine the spotlight on more hometown heroes from across all 23 school districts, right here where the pride of Riverside County plays on. Thanks for joining us on Varsity Vibes on the United America Network.
Varsity Vibes with Luke Lamont is presented by the United America Network. Based in Riverside County, California, UAN is your home team for respecting the American way and countering the spread of misinformation. This is what democracy sounds and looks like.